You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right, everybody. Ready for a little late afternoon, early evening commuting with Carlson. That's right. Usually in the morning. Also, in the afternoon and evening, and I'm so glad you're with me, Irish Kelly is standing by. The Genuine Auto Glass studio lines are awaiting your attention. Did you hear the news about Tim Iman? Not a good day for Tim Iman. Not a good day at all. We've got details straight ahead here. First, the phones are open and awaiting your phone call at 206-421-5757 outside King County, 888-312-5757. What do we know now that we did not know this morning? We know that Tim Iman has been found guilty by Thurston County Superior Court judge of what he called numerous and particularly egregious campaign finance violations. Judge James Dixon, who went on to say that, quote, Mr. Iman has personally benefited economically from these allegations, close quote, of illegal behavior, has barred Tim from managing, I'm again quoting the judge here, managing, controlling, negotiating, or directly financial or directing financial transactions, close quote, for any initiative campaign or any other kind of political campaign at any level. Now, Tim is saying that he's being barred from political activity. That's not quite right. What he's been barred from is financial involvement in raising money or directing the spending. He can still sponsor initiatives. He just can't be involved economically in the initiative campaign. But that has been his life since 1999. He also has been fined over $2.5 million. This is heavy. And I don't think anyone has ever been assessed a political penalty like this before. Certainly not for a civil case. Quote, in the history of fair campaign practices enforcement, it would be difficult for the court to conceive of a case with misconduct that is more egregious or more extensive than the misconduct committed by defendant Tim Iman in this matter, close quote, wrote Bob Ferguson, who has been chasing Tim Iman for 5 years. Okay. This is my first response to this. This news just broke less than an hour ago. I've been involved in initiative campaigns, and I have told Tim this in the past, that he's got to be careful, that he kind of dances on the edge of the envelope. And there are people coming after him, and they're just waiting for him to lose his balance. And sure enough, that is what has been going on. Bob Ferguson has been after Iman for almost 6 years. He filed charges against him in 2017. And so, relentlessly, the state of Washington, in the person of the most partisan attorney general in my lifetime, have been going after him. That doesn't mean that Tim Iman did no wrong. It just means that Bob Ferguson has waged a zealous campaign to try and take him down. And ideally, drive him out of politics. Again, he maintains the right as a citizen to be involved in an initiative. He can draft an initiative. He can propose an initiative. He can speak out on behalf of an initiative. But he cannot be involved in any of the financing of initiative campaigns, which he does and has been doing for quite some time. Many of the charges, the Seattle Times stated, mirror a case that Tim apologized for way back in 2002 when it was revealed that he had been paying himself from initiative donor funds and fibbing about it. He ended up paying a $55,000 fine, was banned from serving as a campaign treasurer of a political committee. So instead, he hired a treasurer and presumably told the treasurer what to do. He had a good lawyer. He had good representation. I think Richard Sanders gave a spirited, substantive defense. But the court found that he had agreed to pay, in one instance, $2 per signature to an initiative signature gathering firm. You know, a lot of companies, there aren't a lot, there's a few companies in the initiative signature gathering business. And Bob Ferguson alleged that Tim had agreed to pay the firm $2 a signature, but he was raising money at the rate of $2.50 per signature, and allegedly sent an email that said that he would pay Citizen Solutions the agreed upon $2 per sig plus $150,000, so you have an extra $150,000 to provide to me. The four things he was charged with, and the judge appears to agree on all counts. Again, I'm reading not from the opinion itself, which I would really feel much more comfortable doing. I'm reading from the reports on the judge's ruling. Tim was charged with laundering political donations to enrich himself. He was charged with accepting kickbacks from a signature gathering firm, which I just detailed there. He was accused of secretly moving money between initiative campaigns. That is a real no-no. If you raise money for an initiative that does one thing, and you take some of that money and give it to another initiative campaign, that can get you in serious trouble in a real hurry. And he's also accused of concealing the source of other political contributions. I thought that one of the accusations against him was really over the top. And I think that Bob Ferguson basically threw as much stuff at the wall as he could in the hopes that at least something would stick. And several things that he threw at the wall stuck. But one thing that I thought was particularly unfair was the claim that, because I actually got some of these mailings. I get a lot of political mail. I'm on a lot of lists because you kind of get a flavor of what's going on in campaign world when you get all these solicitations for campaign organizations and this cause and that cause and this candidate and, you know, that candidate. And Tim was making it clear that he had been bankrupted by this campaign against him. He had had part of it, admittedly, was his part of his doing. He would not cooperate with the lawsuit against him. And so contempt of court fines were assessed against him, and they kept rolling on day after day, over $300,000 in fines. He ended up 3 years ago filing for bankruptcy, saying the legal fees and these fines had crippled his finances and, frankly, ruined his life and family. Drove him to a divorce. I mean, just a tragic situation all the way around. Tim put out mailings saying, "Will you please help me? I need your help." And he made it clear he wasn't raising money for a political campaign. He wasn't raising money for a candidate or for a cause. He was raising money for himself while he fought back against Bob Ferguson. And Ferguson tried to say that those were political campaign donations. They weren't. They were so upfront advertised as personal support for someone who is under siege. So, in looking at the judge's ruling, it's about as bad as it could be. And I don't think Tim is very surprised. He put out an email either this morning or late last night saying that he thought there was a fair chance that Judge Dixon would rule against him. Keep in mind, Dixon had previously found that the signature gathering firm Citizen Solutions had broken the law and ordered the company and the head of it, William Agazarm, to pay more than $1 million in fines for funneling money to Tim Iman. But the size of the fine, $2.5 million, assessed by the court, and the basically being ordered out of the initiative business, means he's got to start over. Yeah, I have invited him to join me either on my morning commute with Carlson or later today. And if he can, that would be great. But we'll see what happens next. I'm reading between the lines here. There is one thing I found interesting. The judge said that Tim Iman could not manage a campaign. He could not control the campaign. He could not negotiate on behalf of the campaign. He cannot direct any financial transactions. But he didn't say he couldn't be paid. For instance, if he was, you know, front and center on a campaign, you know, $30 license tabs, this time we mean it, or something like that, could he be paid if he had nothing to do with running the campaign, if he was the roving ambassador for it? Possibly. But again, the real money in initiative campaigns is in the running of them, not being compensated as, you know, a campaign worker or employee. And it does not look, he can appeal, but I don't know what his argument going forward would be. So that is the news. It is big news. It is news that Bob Ferguson has been waiting for and has been chasing for a long time.
Conservative with a capital C. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Oh, it's busy. Busy today. We've got Mark Cuban You see him all the time on Shark Tank. He also owns the Dallas Mavericks, and very disappointing because I really like the guy. And, you know, he's a contrarian, seems to be very reasonable with supporting the people who stuck it to the hedge fund crowd on GameStop. But he announced that the Dallas Mavericks basketball team, which he owns, will not play the national anthem. Now, that was announced yesterday. He has just been reversed by the NBA. And we will talk about that coming up. Also, Seattle ranks sixth among metropolitan areas in the United States for people leaving. For people leaving. We now rank number six. We used to be the go-to state just a couple of years ago, one of the most popular metropolitan areas to move to. Anyway, we'll get to all that. But right now, I want to get to the phones, get your reaction. The big news this afternoon just broke in the last hour and a half or so. Tim Iman has been held responsible by Judge James Dixon in Thurston County Superior Court for laundering political donations to enrich himself, to accepting kickbacks from a signature gathering firm, to shuttling money between initiative campaigns, other violations. He's been fined $2.6 million dollars and has been barred from any financial involvement in any kind of political campaign. To the phones we go. People want to sound off here on The Commute with Carlson. Howard Snohomish, you're first up. Go for it.
Thanks, John. I was an Iman supporter, and it looks like he did some things, and we got the verdict. However, if it was my shoes or whatever, I think I would go after an appeal to part of that sentence, the part where he can't, let's say, do it again. Because to me, and maybe I'm just too simple, but to me, that'd be like robbing a bank, getting caught, and going to jail, getting out of jail. Then they say you can't go to a bank. Maybe I'm just too simple, but you've been involved in that process before. Maybe you can kind of straighten me out.
Well, you bring up a fair point. I look at more as if you are, let's say, an accountant, and you're caught embezzling, right. You know, you might have to pay a big fine. You might even be sent to jail, but almost certainly you will be ordered never again to have anything to do with accounting for an organization or a business. Or if you're a lawyer who has stolen money from a client's trust.
Yes.
And again, these are criminal matters. A judge, you might be disbarred, or even if you're not disbarred, you might be suspended and told you could never again have anything to do with the wills or trusts of any clients. I mean, in other words, beyond fining and beyond jailing, yes, you can have your freedom restricted in some ways. And that's what this judge is doing here. Again, Tim says he's being barred from being politically active. It would be more accurate to say he's been told he could no longer be part of the initiative business.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point. But the other ones you mentioned, those are licensed activities, I believe, versus just a private citizen. I guess that's where I'm coming from. You still may be right, though.
Yeah, this appears, all of this appears to be civil violations. So
right, okay.
there was no prison or any kind of criminal
record. No, I see that.
But again, in terms of campaign violations, yeah, this is, and I thank you for the call, Howard.
Yeah, thanks, John.
This is pretty serious. This is about as bad as it gets. So We'll see what Tim's next move is. He could certainly move to another state and get into the initiative business. He has a lot of skills. He can become a can he be a consultant? I don't know if he could become a consultant for campaigns, but he's had a terrible year. As you know, he ran for governor, and he had the highest name recognition in among the campaign field. There were over 30 candidates running. Jay Inslee had the highest name recognition. Tim Iman had the second highest name recognition, and he finished way, way back in the pack. So he had a rough election, and then this news here, which, again, he kind of predicted. He said he would not be surprised if he did not prevail in this, given the political climate here. Let's see. Who do we have on hold here? Oh, Ron in Tacoma. Go for it. Ron, are you there?
With Iman again. And here we go with Iman again. And it's I don't know. I don't know that there's a path for anybody in this country that lives in Washington State that has an R next to their name, or at least doesn't have a D next to it, because it seems to me that this is what we're doing now. We're going to criminalize everybody that runs for office that doesn't have a D next to their name. This is what's coming.
Let me give you an incident that took place that I think backs you up on this. And again, I thank you for the call on this, Ron. There's a company called Moxie Media. And they got involved in a state Senate race in Snohomish County, where they were helping an ardently liberal Democrat take out a, 80% liberal, but they wanted 100% liberal. And so what they did was, on behalf of this ardently liberal candidate, they actually went out. They noticed that a Republican had filed for the office, but didn't do any campaigning. It was just, just filed for office. Sometimes that happens. People just file. They get their name in the paper. They can say they ran for office, and they do nothing. And they ran a huge campaign on his behalf, so that they would push him into the top two and would put the liberal vote behind the challenger to the incumbent state senator. I forget what her name was. And they prevailed. They ran a fake campaign on behalf of someone who didn't even hire them. Yeah, I mean, you talk about egregious and unethical. Well, they got nailed by the PDC for doing this. And you know what? They paid $250,000 fine and went right back to work. So if you're, saying, it helps to have a D by your name when you engage in awful political, unethical conduct and campaign violations, the answer is, yeah, we've seen that happen.
He's live, he's local, he's all Northwest. Lars Larson, weekdays noon to 3, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
It's John Carlson here. The afternoon and evening commute here with Carlson, not just the morning commute with Carlson. By the way, speaking of morning, we got a bunch of great guests, including Tim Iman, will be joining me tomorrow morning at 6:35 on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Again, I'll be talking to Tim Iman live at 6:35. At 7 o'clock, I'll be chatting with the CEO of a LGBTQ woman-owned business in Seattle that left. said, we can't take this anymore. So here Seattle attracts the very kind of business they would love to boast about 25 years ago, and they just lost that business because of all the filth, the crime. It's not safe for her employees. It's not safe for their customers, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to have the latest weather update from Como's Kristen Clark about the updated snow forecast. Snow will be falling. How much, when, and where? Tune in tomorrow. We'll let you know. All right. We got stacked lines. People want in on this discussion. If you hadn't already heard big news, and that is the bomb has dropped here. Tim Iman has been found liable for numerous and particularly egregious campaign finance violations over a several-year period of time. Judge James Dixon has levied a $2.6 million fine. Bob Ferguson actually asked him to triple it to almost $8 million. The judge said, no, I'm not going to do that. But $2.6 million. And has barred Tim from any financial involvement in any kind of political committee going forward. Okay, with that said, like I said, stacked lines. Let's get to your calls. Way out in Covington here, East King County. Steve, go ahead. You're on with John Carlson. Go for it.
It's Pete, John, and it's nice to see that you finally have a full-time job.
You're too kind. Thank you.
All right, so your references to, let's say, dentists and lawyers, I would say use a driver's license. To drive is not a right. It is a privilege. Anything you need to get a license for is not a right. Participating in the democratic processes of our government, especially in this state where we have where you can put before a ballot measure initiative measures, is a right, and it cannot be frivolously revoked. I believe, you know, we're right on the edge of the point where we should just like hang every judge we have in this state and exonerate posthumously the few that were worth a rat's rear end. That is my response to this situation.
Ouch. Oh. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Pete. But, you know, one of the things I would point out is if you are an electrician, if you run a hair salon, if you practice medicine, you have to have a license to do it. And if you abuse the license, you may escape criminal penalties, but they might yank your license and prevent you from making a living as an electrician, as a beauty salon stylist, as a doctor, or dental hygienist, or what have you. And I think that that's what the judge did here. Let's run out to James. James, you're up next. Go for it.
Yeah, John. One of your previous callers had already kind of covered some of the stuff I want to talk about, but I just think that there's rules for thee and not for me. The state of Washington has been after Tim Iman forever.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, they're just trying to put him out of business. They're trying
to put
Tim Iman out of business. They're trying to put the conservative movement out of business. I mean, that, to me, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, there is absolutely, make no mistake, regardless of your politics, there's absolutely no doubt about it. Bob Ferguson's goal was to drive Tim Iman out of business and presumably out of politics. And he got a big victory today after 5 years. 5 years going after. Remember, Bob Ferguson has. He didn't have to pay for lawyers. You know, he. You paid for the lawyers. I paid for the lawyers because we're taxpayers. The Attorney General's office goes after a private citizen like this, and he's the one who has to pony up money. Now, Richard Sanders gave him a really great deal, as good a deal as you could get, and gave him very good representation. Let's run out here to Joe from Skagit County. Where up in Skagit County are you, Joe?
I'm up, in central Skagit County. I'm up in the great city of Cedar Woolley,
Burlington. Okay.
Yes, sir. That area. John, I've met you before. Big fan of your show over the years. But I got to gloat to my mind going down. I mean, this is a guy who, had a lot of chances to clean up his act. Was given a lot, lots and lots of chances, and he blew it. And I think I think he's destructive, and that's not BS or fake news. But I also think, John, also think that we need someone to be the initiative to make it easier to run initiatives, because we should have that process. We just don't need it abused. But I'm very happy Tim's going down. I hope we get public transit built on time, on schedule, and maybe some elected transit boards so we can have heroes like Heidi Wells and Anna Sievarts and some of, and Alex Hudson and yourself on these transit boards who are smart, accountable people. It's a great day for justice, and hopefully we can still have an initiative process.
Well, number one, I think that I might disagree with some of what you had to say, but I will agree with one big thing you said, which is we need to have a robust initiative process in Washington. And I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats have a commanding majority in both houses in Olympia. And of course, they've got Jay Inslee. And they're feeling their oats, especially with a virtual session where people are not paying close enough attention to what's going on. And I don't blame them. There's no hearings. I interviewed a prominent legislator, he's at home. No one's at the Capitol. I mean, a few people might be, but I get his point. And they're going to push radical legislation. You know, they may pass capital gains. They may pass the misnamed lower carbon fuel standard, which would dramatically increase the price of gasoline and home heating fuel for you. They have two bills that, while calling themselves anti-gun violence, would end life without parole. Now, eliminated the death penalty. The Supreme Court finally ruled it unconstitutional. And so we currently don't have a death penalty law. It's a dead letter. But now that they got the death penalty out of the way, let's do away with life without parole. That's that bill I was telling you about, 5036. And not only that, but to make it easier for violent armed felons to get out early, they doubled the size of the clemency board, stacked it with people who are going to be predisposed to letting people out. And then they said the onus is not on the person asking for clemency that they've earned it. The onus is on the board to make the case why they shouldn't get it. Okay? That bill has a chance of passing. You're going to hear my conversation with State Representative Roger Goodman. He's supporting a bill that, again, while he says he's anti-gun violence, would all but gut the concept of enhancements for extra time in jail if you are caught committing a crime with a gun. I mean, here they want to restrict the rights of law-abiding gun owners when it comes to gun magazines, open carry, when it comes to concealed carry permits and how easy they should be to get. They want to make that harder. But they want to streamline and reduce the penalties for actually carrying a gun or aiming a gun at someone while you're committing a crime. So we need an initiative process in this state. Okay? We need an initiative process because, number one, if they know there's a robust initiative process, it keeps the legislature honest. They'll say, you know what, that's just going to end up on the ballot, and not only are we going to lose, but we might lose a couple of legislators along the way because it becomes an issue in their campaign. And so you bet we've got to have a strong initiative system. Again, capital gains may pass, lower carbon fuel, the raid on three strikes you're out, and on gun owners. The only response should be, let the people have the final word. Let the people have the word at the ballot box. Thank God we have the initiative process in this state.
Putting America first and holding the powerful accountable. Sean Hannity, weekdays 6 to 9 p.m. Talk Radio 570 KBI.
It's John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Oh, this is going to hurt. Brian Moran, the U.S. Attorney for Western Washington, is retiring at the end of the month. He announced earlier today that he was stepping down. Joe Biden has asked all the U.S. attorneys appointed under the Trump administration, even those with the support of Democratic senators like Brian Moran, to please, you know, turn in their papers and leave so he could put someone that he wants, which is his right. But here's the thing. Brian Moran is the only law enforcement adult in the room in the entire Seattle area. It was Brian Moran who went after some of these rioters throughout the summer with federal charges. It was Brian Moran when guy came in from Alaska and was part of that attempt to set fire to the East Precinct while using quickcrete to jam the locks so the officers couldn't get out of the precinct while it was on fire. He went after that guy with federal charges. Federal charges are far more severe. And so in a world of Pete Holmes and Dan Satterberg and the Seattle City Council, we actually have someone who believes in upholding the rule of law and defending the rule of law and going after those who won't obey the law. So, Brian Moran, you will be missed. I hope we can talk to him on the air sometime soon. I wish we could talk him out of it, is what I wish we can do. Also, the NBA has told Mark Cuban, Dallas Mavericks owner, just one day after Mark Cuban told an online news site that the Dallas Mavericks would not be playing the national anthem at home games, that yes, you will. Quote, with NBA teams now in the process of welcoming back fans into their arenas, all teams will play the national anthem in keeping with longstanding league policy, said their communications officer, Mike Bass. Mark Cuban did not put up a fight. He said, yeah, all right, I'm good with it. Cuban said that the decision not to play the national anthem on his part until he was reversed was not because they don't love the United States, but because many people feel the national anthem doesn't represent them. And they want to continue discussion of how to represent people from all communities when honoring the U.S. at a game, close quote. Well, here's a question for Mark Cuban. What does tie us together as Americans? What ceremony? What song? What is it that ties us all together as Americans, if not the national anthem. The American flag, and you can stand for the anthem and the flag or choose not to and show what an ingrate you are. But the bottom line is, if the flag doesn't bring us together, the flag, which is what, when a police officer, firefighter, or a soldier goes down in service to their community and country, their widow or widower are handed an American flag. If that doesn't tie us together, what does? It's John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, tomorrow's program, Tim Iman at 6:35. You don't want to miss that on Talk Radio 570 KVI.